We have Lance Enderle, who's running for Congress in the 8th District of Michigan. And he thought I took a shot at him because I thought he was crazy for running against Mike Rogers. I said that in jest, but of course we're going to give you a chance to rebuttal on that. Lance, how are you? And thanks for coming in.
I'm doing great, Tony. Thanks for inviting me in here this morning.
Yeah, pull that down, Ian. With that voice of yours, you should be a DJ. All right, so you're going to run against Mike Rogers. Give us a little bit about your background before we dive into that.
Well, how I got into this race, if people aren't aware of the history of it, I got in originally as a write-in last election cycle. And since then, I made a commitment to the people of the 8th District that I encountered that I would not give up on this race, considering what happened last election cycle. My background's pretty extensive. I started out as a political operative when I graduated from college. That's a rude word, I think, in today's day and language. But I left that, went to corporate America in the telecommunications industry. And somewhere in between there, I got an epiphany to go back to school again and get my teaching degree. So I'm a certified Michigan public school teacher in social studies and special education. Where does that lead me into this? Well, let's look at it. I'm a behavior intervention specialist, and Washington is one dysfunctional place. It's time they get a reevaluation and assessment.
Let's talk about your political affiliation. Obviously, you're a Democrat. Tell us where you stand.
I'm a progressive.
Okay.
I'm a progressive Democrat. A lot of people have called me a libertarian. What that sort of kind of tones is, I understand that we need taxes. I understand that we have this thing. We have a social contract and a responsibility. I'm a product of the public education system. I benefit by driving on our public roads. I benefit by our military protecting us so we can sleep under that blanket of freedom every night. We all benefit from our national parks and our water systems. We all benefit from these things that sometimes we take for granted and think that they're just there and we don't have to take care of them. That takes tax dollars to generate that. And that's where I stand on that. Now, the libertarian part of that libertarian is stay out of my personal business. My business ends where your nose begins. When I'm in my four walls, that's my business. The government doesn't have a right to tell me who to marry. They don't have a right to tell me what to do with my personal body. They don't have the right to tell me what to do with my health care plans. Bottom line is, stay out of my personal business.
So you disagree with Obamacare?
No. When I say health care plans, I should have stated that a little clearly. I'm talking about health care in general. Why have we created this war on women in the last 8 months? They're not second-class citizens. They're equal to us in every way, shape, and form. And gentlemen out there, please thank your wives and your mothers for bringing you and your children into this world.
Now, you know it's said that that's a Republican agenda item to get to Democrats, especially the females, thinking that, there is an attack on women.
There is an attack on women when, over the last 8 months, let's go back. Mike's mantra last election cycle was jobs, jobs, jobs. Why is it he's done everything in his power to restrict our civil liberties and women's reproductive rights over the last year? It's been nothing about jobs. You want to talk jobs and currency manipulation and intellectual property theft? Start manufacturing in America instead of China. I heard on your show today the wind turbines in Eaton Rapids. That's great. We need that manufacturing, but why are we sending those parts back to China? Why aren't we making the turbines here? Why aren't we making them here in America? We used to build things great here. This used to be the arsenal of democracy. We were the war machine. What happens if we were to go into war today? Are we going to call China up and ask them for our bombs? I don't think so.
How are you going to beat Mike Rogers?
It's called grassroots. It's called being out there on the door, speaking the truth, hounding him wherever it's at. I've yet to find somebody to tell me that money hasn't tainted our political system. I'm raising money and I'm taking money, but there's a limit to what's spent. When I'm watching people on the streets going without, when I'm watching my neighbors suffer, when I'm watching the mortgage rate in this county, in Ingham County, in this district go through the roof, it's unconscionable to spend millions of dollars for, let's talk business, for a position that pays a little over $100,000. That's bad business. And Republicans, really? All that is buying power. It's got to stop. The power belongs with the people, not the corporations. Quick government lesson. When the corporations control our government, that's called fascism.
Mike Rogers is very popular in the district. He's got a lot of money. Well, I'm going to let you address this. He's got a lot of money in his coffers. He is almost unbeatable. I read that article in the AP story a couple of weeks ago. How would you address that?
Number one, anybody's beatable. Get your name on the ballot. It's a 50-50 crapshoot any way you want to go about it. Let's just do statistics. Is he beatable? Yes, he is. Where is he? You don't get to see Mike unless you got a $2,500 check. It's all about the money. He said he's got millions of dollars. Hell yeah, he does. You're talking $20,000 this last cycle to his PAC, $10,000 to his campaign committee, and $10,000 to his PAC from the Koch brothers. That's just what we know about. That's a small segment. But what about the $50,000 from the Koch employees, the executives that go into his personal account? This is corporate money. I use the Koch brothers as an example. I could go over to Dick DeVos and Amway. You know, that's another gentleman that needs to have his self evaluated. You own 75% of Grand Rapids. You want less government, but yet you're all about the government subsidies that come into that town. You want your tax breaks. You want your $7,200 per pupil at your charter schools, but you don't want government play.
From your perspective, where has Mike Rogers gone wrong?
Where hasn't he gone wrong? I'm more conservative than Mike Rogers. When you look at his votes over the last 3 years, he's voted over 30 times to restrict our civil liberties. Just look recently, NDAA. I have a problem. There's lines in there that scare me, and they should scare every citizen, about indefinite detainment. That's not American. That goes against our Constitution, regardless of who you are. Let's go back to the Geneva Convention. We used to have a civil code to our code of war, code of conduct. Where has that gone? We have become below the example that we set. You lead by example. And I don't think we've been doing that lately. We've lost something. We've lost that civility, compassion. I don't know what it is. But getting back to Mike's record, civil liberties, he's taken it off. Everything he's done has been about corporations. Everything he has done, he's a rubber stamp Republican. He has no forethought. And to use his name in the Select Intelligence Committee is an oxymoron. Let's go back last election cycle. He called for the execution of PFC Bradley Manning. During the conversation, he didn't know who Daniel Ellsberger of the Pentagon Papers were. This is a guy who was in the United States Army, claims to be Mr. FBI, and he couldn't tell us the largest security breach in American history up until WikiLeaks? Danny Ellsberger was a patriot. He made us aware of what was going wrong in Vietnam. He didn't compromise anything, as did Bradley Manning. Granted, I will say Bradley Manning committed a crime by downloading that information and taking it off from there, but he didn't compromise anybody.
Well, you say he's a rubber stamp Republican. What about the fact that he supported the auto bailouts, which many Republicans did not?
He also supported the bank bailouts, too, which I tell you what, the banks should have failed. That's capitalism. That's capitalism. Where are the banks doing us any business right now? I've talked to at least 30 people this week whose houses are getting foreclosed, and when they call the banks, they're talking to Mexico or India. Whoa! Where did this stimulus money go these banks got besides into the pockets of these bank CEOs? Now we're giving jobs overseas? We're outsourcing jobs?
Are you getting financial and any other support from the Democratic Party in Ingham County and in the state of Michigan?
I haven't asked for it.
Don't you need it? You need Democratic votes.
No,
I
asked for the support. You asked the money.
Right.
I haven't asked for that yet.
Okay.
I just recently, after the debacle last time, I'm this person of conviction and fortitude. Mm-hmm. If we're going to walk the walk, if talk the talk, we're going to walk the walk. And money is not the issue. It's about voice and democracy. And it's something that we haven't had. You and I haven't had. We may not agree on all the issues, Tony, but I guarantee we probably agree on about 80% of them together. Mm-hmm. If we were to sit down and Ben Franklin everything out, and it's not going there.
But you can't knock on every door in the district. People are going to need to hear you and to see you, and that costs money. And how are you going to do that?
The money is coming in, okay? And we don't need $1 million to beat Mike. One thing that I have that most races don't have is this is a grassroots campaign. It's people powered. I do not pay one salary. One salary. I don't use anything to cover my expenses. All my money that I bring in goes directly towards a door-to-door media effort.
Okay, we're going to be talking with you over the course of the campaign. I'll end this conversation with probably the most important issue in the upcoming presidential elections and in many other elections is jobs. What are you going to do to help create jobs in the 8th District?
I've got an initiative that I'll be unleashing within the next 2 weeks. It's a three-part plan. I can't get in too much detail right now because it's a campaign thing. What it boils down to, jobs are a big thing. I alluded to it earlier. You know, you hear all this talk from the Republicans, currency manipulation and intellectual property theft. It's not going to come over the internet. They're not going to steal our stuff over the internet. Where they're stealing it is we're building things, taking it over to Chinese factories, and they're dismantling it and rebuilding it. Almost like the helicopter that we were afraid that China would get a hold of in Pakistan. Same premise. What we got to do is we got to start manufacturing in America. We need to put tariffs on our borders where it's equivalent to those that are operating overseas. We also need to give businesses incentive here in this country. I'm on the president's plan. We incentivize the businesses here to manufacture here. We tax those that want to do business overseas. They want to benefit from our resources and our roads and all this stuff. It's time these corporations start paying for what they're using in this country. Especially the military that they're using to, accommodate their taking of the money.
We've been talking with Lance Enderle. He's running for Congress. He wants to be the next congressman in the 8th District, and we'll be talking with him throughout the political campaign this season. We appreciate you coming in studio.
Hey, thank you, Tony. I appreciate it more than you know.